Welcome to Aligned with host Sean Doyle, a podcast dedicated to bridging a gap between your sales and marketing to help you drive new growth and profitability. For this episode, we go back into our archive of one of our favorite conversations, where Sean and Will Riley, Revenue Operations Director at Fitzmartin, discuss the power revenue operations for small to medium-sized businesses. Specifically, why businesses should care about revenue operation, what it does, and explain why it's booming. This conversation was the first of five episodes about RevOps. Visit fitzmartin.com/podcast to listen to the others. If this is your first time listening, I encourage you to subscribe and consider leaving us a rating and review. We would greatly appreciate it. Now, let's dive in.
Hey, y'all, this is Sean Doyle with Aligned, the podcast for the executives of middle market businesses, rapidly growing businesses, and executives who want to help that continue to happen, or even are looking for new marketing levers, or maybe just business levers, and they've never considered marketing as one of those. So the conversation that we want to have today, I'm with Will Riley.
Hey, Sean.
Hey. So Will is an expert on revenue operations and has been growing into this role through his career. And we wanted to have a talk with anybody who wants to listen. That's you guys, the listeners. Over the next few episodes, we're going to do five episodes, no more than 15 minutes each. This is the introduction. Then we'll do the five. So it'd be six in total, but five for 15 sounded better, a little more ESPN-ish. So let's go with that. Today, let's going to introduce revenue operations. What is revenue operations? Why should a business executive care? What does RevOps do? And why is RevOps booming right now? Want to attack this?
Let's do it.
All right. So, Will, one of the questions that I've been hearing a lot is, what is revenue operations? So let's start there. It's a good basic place.
Yeah, absolutely. LinkedIn did a study last year that job titles with revenue in the search or in the job title spiked by over 80% up to 87%. And what you're really seeing is marketing having to shift again. Marketing is probably used to that from social media to transitioning from print or programmatic strategies. Just marketing in the last four decades has probably evolved faster than any other industry. And here we go again.
You know, one of our other frequent guests is a guy named Luke Allen. And he says, I'm a boomer. And I guess technically I am. But as a boomer, I've had the privilege of seeing a lot occur in marketing and sales. And I would say it's something like this, if I was to summarize 30 years of a career. When I began, sales was in control of everything. They controlled the information. They controlled the dialogue. They led everything. It was just where all the power was. Rapidly through the 90s, the internet changed everything, and the disintermediation of sales as the controller of information happened. Now these consumers, these people had the ability to go around us as companies, as people, and get information from another consumer. It was a very powerful moment. Well, sales structures naturally lagged behind that, right? So in the 90s, even in through the early 2000s, this evolution of the way sales was working, the conflict of even just getting individual salespeople to move from this block and tackle power moment into understanding the consumer had more and more power happened. And then there was this marketing technology stack that kind of began to evolve, even things as simple as a CRM system, a customer resource management system. So that happened. I think everybody today knows what a CRM is. That was probably one of the earliest evolutions of a tech stack, even if it was an Excel sheet. Yeah. So this idea of change happened, and demand gen then, I think, came in behind that.
Sure.
And that's really where your career started, right?
Absolutely.
Right out of college.
Yeah.
As sales began to lose control, marketing began to evolve from creators of art and stuff and brand, these ambiguous words. And they began to, especially in business to business, integrate more deeply into business operations. The CEO perhaps began to see marketing as a strategic and revenue contributor. So I would say really in the early 2000s is when we began to see marketing rise. So the question again is, what is RevOps? So the foundation of this is sales has been in place. Sales will always be in place. Sales is always going to be what closes deals. Now, before that is the role of marketing elevated and began to support sales. And in the beginning, it was nothing but sales support. They marketing built stuff for sales to use. So marketing began to have a larger role. So now you've got this sales thing happening and this marketing thing happening, but there was no communication. There was this separation of the two.
Yeah.
So technology kind of stepped in there. This idea of a CRM was at least a very beginning basic thing. So, hey, let's have a database of names and we could record what activities have happened. And then sales knows what marketing did. Marketing knows what sales did at best. Our observations is that sales didn't always respect, in fact, typically did not respect marketing and didn't want them in the deals. So this barrier happened where sales didn't really know what marketing did, or marketing didn't really know what they were supposed to be doing to support sales. There was just this lack of alignment, is today's fancy word for it. So early, the technology stack, the CRM, then evolved into demand gen, and you know that things like HubSpot or Marketo or Salesforce, Pardot, all those different tools began to evolve. And today we're living in this really rich technical environment. And maybe even one of the problems that RevOps solves, revenue operations solves, is understanding how to connect all these dots. What is it that the technology is going to do? Because technology in and of itself doesn't do anything, right? It's a thing. It's a static object. It's the integration of those two pieces. So I'd say again, in the history of this, you're the expert. You should be telling this story, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
In the history of this, and something you taught me, Will, is customer success began to become part of the dialogue too. Well, makes sense. Everybody anecdotally knows, hey, the cheapest person to sell is your current customer, you know? Okay, great. Well, that's an anecdote I've heard forever. But now with this revenue operations thing, seeing all these misalignments and lack of communication and extra costs involved, and well, customer success should be part of that. And even innovation should be part of that, because your customers are great sources of your next step.
Yeah, I really like what you said, Sean, in that marketing was behind, sales was in control, and then we inherently ignored the customer. And what we're seeing now is that marketing, sales, and customer success programs have been innovated more than they've ever had. And we're seeing a big push in people trying to buy technology to automate systems and processes and inherently make more money. But just buying the tech isn't enough. It's operationally, there's a huge shift. It's understanding the tech applied to your business and how is that going to produce more leads and have a higher close rate and continue to help with the upsell and cross-sell with your customers. So you're really saying there's alignment. There's an alignment shift, an operational shift, a tool shift, innovation shift, but then knowing how that applies to your business. So it's a very complicated situation.
I think another thing you've taught me, Will, is that RevOps solves this integration problem because it breaks down silos. So while sales still has a leader, marketing still has a leader, customer service or customer success has a leader, innovation might also have a leader.
Yeah.
So how's RevOps and this defining of what RevOps is? Help me understand how that integrates everything.
Yeah. So it's really trying to break that down. We see in our years in professional services, we've seen marketing typically works with an ad agency, and that ad agency is helping that brand maybe generate leads, but mainly it's awareness generating campaigns. It's not necessarily tied to revenue or performance. We've seen sales departments, they have a sales coach and they come in annually for, hey, here are the goals for the year, go get them, boys. And then customer success may develop a loyalty program once every now and then, but what I just described are three different departments, three different goals with three different objectives. So really, RevOps comes in and analyzes the behaviors of marketing, sales, customer success through this technology lens and really applies a new operational framework and how they should be performing.
That's brilliant. Okay, I'm a boomer. Let me go back in time. Let me give you a quick brief history of all this. What led up to this? So Will, this centralized function or the historically operated team, siloed teams, you've got the sales operations, marketing operations, customer success operations, but you've got then these systems, these technology systems underneath all of that. These systems are providing data points that innovation then can come from, as well as each person, each silo can operate or provide insight to what innovation might do. So this integration begins to create what? Revenue,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Let's talk through some stats. Why should somebody continue to listen to this conversation? I think there's stats around the cost of misalignment that are interesting. I've recently read about when two goals are misaligned, how it reduces the sales force's perception that they could achieve goals, and marketing perceives that they can not achieve goals. So this misunderstanding, these misaligned departments operating separately, each have a disbelief about their own abilities. I think that's an interesting thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's an interesting hidden cost of misalignment. Two, misalignment creates just unnecessary difficulty. You know, how many times have we gone in to do a consulting engagement and just found people working way harder? You know, maybe I just got off of a sales ride, you know, going out with a customer and a salesperson and listening to their problems. And I learned things that marketing could be doing to support the sales team, but it was just because nobody had ever gone out and talked to sales. Sales hadn't really understood what marketing was doing. So I don't know, those are kind of hidden costs of misalignment that I think are important. Let's go through some data. Like, let's just whip out some off the top of our heads. Let's just do this thing. All right. So 50% of sales time is wasted on poor prospect, bad leads.
Well, I was looking at your blue versus like just
you will
all black.
So one cost we see is that 50% of sales time is totally wasted. So business owner, figure out what half your costs are in sales. There's half of it's wasted. You're throwing away half that money.
And this blows my mind. 65% of CMOs can't measure the ROI of marketing activities across multiple channels.
Man, 95% of buyers buy from somebody who gave them content at each stage of the buyer's journey. Okay, we're going to have to expand on that thing a little bit. But yeah, 95% of the buyers buy from people who see a funnel aligned and communicate with customers aligned.
Companies that excel at lead nurturing generate 50% more sales-ready leads at 33% lower cost.
Whew.
I take that reduction.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so if somewhere there's a CEO going, this is all great, but this is not revenue. All right, tightly aligned companies are achieving revenue growth 24% faster and 20% faster 3-year EBITDA profit growth. All right, that's starting to make me pay attention. Why should I pay attention to revenue operations? Revenue, there's one.
Yeah, and I love this. Misalignment between sales and marketing technologies and processes cost B2B companies 10% of revenue more per year. So it's just spending better money in a better place, and you instantly have a cost reduction.
So somebody could have a view of RevOps, but not have their marketing tech working properly. You've solved a problem just recently. You, like, quote, I clicked one button and everything started talking.
Yeah.
That company had suffered from a lack of information exchange for years?
Yeah, almost 10 years.
Unbelievable. So yeah, it makes sense. Even if you're doing this stuff to have a third party come in and look at this and find buttons to click to make things work better. Okay. 12% of B2B buyers want to meet in person with a sales rep, but 71% start their processes with unbranded research. That's from Accenture. So we put all this effort into the sales rep and the time. 12% of the people are starting their journey there. And we know B2B is complicated. There's typically multiple decision makers. There's room for consulting. Late stage deal needs a salesman, but that's not where they're starting. So how should alignment happen early stage? It actually kind of points to something we see all the time, Will, where salespeople say, my lead quality sucks. Ooh, I shouldn't cuss. Can I cuss? It's the internet, sure. I still shouldn't cuss. Well, what? Forgive me, please, audience. So yeah, I mean, the salespeople are complaining about a lack of lead quality. Well, it's not, I think, lead quality problem always. Some of it is. It's more often customers, prospects aren't ready to talk to sales. So they're masking their value. They're hiding from these salespeople. Salespeople call them and they don't want to talk to them yet. The data is showing that. Well, marketing and sales alignment, an understanding of demand generation that leads into sales enablement, which is part of the revenue ops conversation, that will solve that problem. Okay, so if we haven't at least caused a little bit of interest with those stats, that data, none of that's ours, by the way. We pulled that all from really credible companies who are doing this research and are leading this effort. Okay, so CEO, if you've not heard data that makes you think, this is interesting, more revenue, lower cost, higher EBITDA, this is stuff that marketing can do that is never done before. Maybe I should think about this. Oh,
not just marketing.
I just said marketing. That's because I'm a marketer, right? Historically, yeah. I'm a marketer. So I've got this point of view. So is this RevOps thing a marketing thing? Is it a sales thing? Is it a training thing? Where does this come in?
It's really all the above. It's got to have ownership and buy-in at the core departments from marketing, sales, and customer success.
Do I need to hire a different person? Do I elevate one of these people? In fact, I know we did a podcast. It's a recent episode, 4 or 5, maybe. If you come to fitzmartin.com and go to the podcast, you'll see that there. There's a conversation where we talked about weaknesses and strengths of different people leading it. So we're not going to rehash that, but how do you approach this? How do you bring in a RevOps leader?
Yeah, sometimes it's easier to bring in a third-party firm or an agency that specializes in revenue operations from an operational perspective or a tool set perspective. And really, one of the four areas of focus that we've mentioned earlier, but it's looking at operations, current operations, enablement opportunities, your tool set and future tool set, as well as just insights along the way of where are there areas that you can make more, spend less.
All right. You sound a little bit like you're setting yourself up to be hired as a consultant. So full disclosure, people can hire us to do this. I like coming in as a fractional revenue operations person, doing some of the dirty work, working on alignment, cultural alignment, getting the technology set up. And then with a better understanding of how RevOps could work, then I think the executive teams can make a better decision. We like to come in and get fired in a couple of years. We get that stuff structured for them.
It really only works if there's an internal team after we leave. I mean, it could be an 18-month engagement. And like you said, if we walk away within 2 years and there's not a team in place thinking, and then it failed.
Then it goes back to silos, right?
Absolutely.
So that's a shameless plug for what we do for a living. Let's say you don't want to hire us, and that's fine. Most of you won't. I still say bring in somebody to do at least an initial understanding of identifying where the weaknesses are. Let's wrap up with two things. One, small to middle business, SMB. So that's where we're working. Most of this RevOps stuff is occurring in these billion-dollar companies. I still see where small business can elevate their revenues. Small, that the SMB level, you're looking at a 10% lift of elevation. Most of the data you can find out there says a $1 billion company is going to elevate their revenue $100 million. So that's why they're putting so much money in it. But if you can do as a small business leader, if you can elevate your revenues, and actually the interesting thing is instead of elevating a 10% growth rate, you can probably elevate almost a 20% annual growth rate with the integration of this program. So this kind of thinking is valuable even more so for small businesses. Smaller businesses have more fluidity, they're more agile, it's easier to change the culture. So small businesses are actually better levered or better enabled to leverage this as a tool. That's why revenue operations has to push down into that small to mid-sized business. So let's say you've got less than 100 employees or around 100 employees. This is exactly who you need to be. So small businesses are really perfectly situated to leverage revenue operations even more than some of these larger entities. You don't have to put millions and millions of dollars into it. You can make a much smaller investment and potentially achieve a 20% growth rate instead of some of these larger numbers. You get to look at much smaller numbers. Smaller businesses are more agile. There's less to making a cultural change. There's fewer people involved. It's sometimes easier to get all these different operations, the heads of sales and marketing and customer success together and innovation all on one page, because there's less politics. It's a smaller, focused, nimble, agile environment. So small to mid-sized business is perfectly aligned and ready to take advantage of this lever. So what are we going to do in our next couple episodes, Will? How are we going to break that down?
I think it makes the most sense to really look at the different conversion points that a prospect goes through. And really looking at marketing has two main conversion points. Sales has two main conversion points. And then there is a role for the customer success team in renewals and upsell and cross-sell opportunities. But that doesn't mean that sales and marketing do not have a role to play throughout the whole journey. Because as we look at these different episodes, we're going to see that even earlier stage sales has a role, even late stage, right as they're about to sign the contract, marketing has a role. And we're going to look at five different examples of that in the upcoming episodes.
So if you're not in your car, I would say, again, come to the website, fitzmartin.com, and look for the cognitive marketing framework. Or if you're on the podcast, put a link in the below right there. See where I'm pointing?
Click
here. Yeah. So no, we'll put a link there. Download that framework. The cognitive marketing framework is something that will apply to anybody's sales pipeline. And the conversion points that Will is talking about, you could simplify by saying there's early stage, there's middle stage, there's late stage, and then there's customers. And we'll walk through each of those steps. So the next episode is going to look a little bit at demand generation and the marketing technology that underlies that. Then we'll move into sales enablement and the marketing technology that underlies that. And finally, customer success and the marketing technology that underlies that. And then we'll have a brief episode on innovation, because innovation is part of creating revenue. There's a lot to uncover. We hope this journey is beginning for you. We hope we've given you a sense of what revenue operations is. We hope we've given you a sense of why you should invest in it. And we hope you will enjoy the next steps as we dive in. We got five episodes to go. I just said five episodes, and I only gave four subjects. I totally forgot. We think that we should do a whole episode on marketing technology. It's a complicated subject. There's 7,000 technologies. So anybody investing at the small business level is going to be presented with literally thousands of ideas. So we're not going to spend a lot of time in each of the previous episodes talking about technology. We'll share how it works in principle, and we're not even going to give you specific recommendations. We're agnostic to the tools. We think different tools fit different businesses. But in our final episode, the fifth, 5 for 15, then we're going to attack that marketing technology. How do you make these decisions? And just some insights of practical errors and big victories that can be had. So thanks. Look forward to taking the journey with y'all.
Thanks for listening.
We sure appreciate you listening today. If you would like to get in contact with today's guest or stay in touch with us, visit our show notes. Additionally, to get the latest strategies for the alignment between marketing and sales, visit fitzmartin.com. As a reminder, if you have found value in today's episode, leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, or your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, thanks for listening.